everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, we're blessed to have back Blake Arakaki on the podcast to capture yet another powerful testimony during part two of our conversation. Today, Blake will be sharing one of the many ways that God communicates with him and reminds him of his presence with him. So, Blake, welcome back to Catalyst Stories.
Yeah, great. Glad to be back.
So, thank you for coming back, Blake, on the podcast. This testimony that God has given you has been personally meaningful to me as I have adapted one of the many ways that God communicates and interacts with you into my life. So, I know our listeners will find your testimony very applicable and practical and very easy to implement too. So really appreciate you coming back to share it.
Yeah, great.
So I know it was several years ago, and I think you might have said around 2008 was a difficult time in your life. And so I wondered if you could start by talking about the difficulties you were struggling with, what you understood in your own mind about how you would cope with them, and then go right into that moment that things changed for you.
Sure. Yeah, so 2008, yeah, pretty tough year. That was the year I actually went through my divorce.
Yeah.
It was, without getting into the details, it was actually a pretty difficult time for me.
Sure.
I remember, you know, going through it, even before it all, the divorce happened. You know, I was praying a lot. I was Christian. I believed. Never been much of a practicing Christian at that point. Hadn't been going to church, but I believed. And I was praying hard every day, all the time, for some relief, for some help, really.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that time, you know, when I was going through it, I just felt like, you know, I don't think I was getting the help I was hoping for. And at that point, I felt like, well, I'm just going to have to suck it up and I'm going to deal with it. I have to figure out how to get through this on my own.
Right.
And just suck it up.
Right. And I think you even made the comment, why pray? Because nothing happens, right?
Right. You know, I've done all this praying and I wasn't seeing any fruit of that, those prayers at all.
Yeah.
In my head, right? Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, it just felt like, why bother?
Right.
What's the point?
Right. Uh-huh. And then one day you go to a restaurant and something happens. And
yeah.
So I wonder if you can jump right into.
Sure. So this was probably maybe like 6 years after that or something like that. This is back when I was already going to Catalyst.
Okay.
Right? Uh-huh. And if you remember the Sang story, this probably happened after the Sang story actually where that kept me even going to Catalyst. So yeah, so just so background, I tend to be a pretty analytical person. Certain things stand out to me. And so I happened to go to this restaurant, ordered some food, and got the receipt. And, you know, every receipt, you get an order number.
Yeah. Right?
So on this one, I look at the order number, 444. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Like, what are the odds of that? And in my head, because I'm analytical, about 1 in 1,000. I'm assuming after 999, it goes back. So it's 1 out of 999. And I thought, oh, that's pretty interesting. And then I just put the receipt in my pocket and waited for my food.
Yeah.
About my way, yeah. And then after eating my food, go home. And I started seeing 444 just randomly that same day.
Wow.
I can't remember exactly what it was. I used to play this video game. And I remember on the video game, I saw 444 next to my character's name. I'm like, oh, that's weird. There it is again. Or watching football. You know, I'd see one of my fantasy receivers would have 4 catches for 44 yards. I'm like, okay, this is getting a little bit out there. And so it was really interesting because Kimiko was there.
Yeah.
I remember talking to her about it, saying, you know, Kimmy, something weird's happening here. I'm not sure what to make of it. And I told her what's going on.
Yeah.
And we thought, well, maybe God, maybe it's a God thing. Right? And the only reason I even went there is because I'm still going to Catalyst.
Yeah.
Right. Because again, going back to that prayer that Sang did that kept me going back to Catalyst.
Yeah.
It made me think, yeah, let me check that out. So I remember, well, let's get the Bible. Let's look in the Bible. Went to page 444. No, nothing stood out to us there. Went to the fourth book, fourth chapter, fourth verse of the Bible. I still don't know what book that is. And nothing resonated. I'm like, oh, okay, well, maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just coincidence.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, let me just stop you there. So I can tell you that the fourth book in the Bible is Numbers, if you can believe that.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't know that.
Sorry to interrupt you. So.
Yeah. Oh, that's fascinating. Oh.
Yeah.
See, I learned something new. I didn't even know that. That's awesome.
So I think you even said that at work, a coworker used the number 444 in an email to you as well, right?
So what happened the next day, actually, I'm working, my group, we did a lot of the training.
Yeah.
And so part of our training, we have to send out surveys. And so I like to look at the survey results. So I remember going to work, looked at the survey results. The average for the survey responses was 4.44. I'm like, okay, what's happening here? And that same day, I'm taking a workshop, a training. I'm actually getting trained.
Yeah.
And we had to do some math. And the average on it came out to 44.4. I'm like, okay, this is bizarre. And so I remember talking to Darren. I had lunch with Darren Tamura.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I think something's happening here. And I kind of talked to him about it. And then he said, yeah, you know, it might be a God thing. You know, might want to talk to Sam, Pastor Sam.
Yeah.
So we go back to work. And something else on my computer came up 4.44, and I'm like, Darren, come up here. I called him up to my desk. You got to see this.
That's crazy.
And so then I messaged Sam right away. I say, Sam, something's happening. Can we talk? And so he was really gracious. I think he met me either that day or the next day, and we talked about it at lunch. And yeah, he said, you know what? We after some discussion, we kind of finally came to the conclusion that, you know what I'm going to do? Just anytime I see 444, I'm just going to say, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Something along those lines. Just, I'm going to take it on faith that that's just God letting me know he's there.
Yeah. Yeah. Wanting to connect with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's fascinating because that's the way my mind works. Because I'm very analytical, right? Mm-hmm. That it just stood out to me.
Yeah.
And so, so it just became a habit for me. Where when I would see the number, I would just say, thank you, Jesus, or praise the Lord.
Yeah, yeah. And I just wanted to emphasize again what you said, that, you know, God has so many ways to connect with us, but the fact that he would connect in a way that was totally understandable and relatable to you, you know, like you said, with you being analytical, isn't that just like God to meet us where we're at? And
Totally.
I just find that incredible.
And go back to that story, because you had mentioned that someone had sent me an email. Actually, what it was an IM. And so we had this instant message software at work. And what it does, it allows us to put little messages by our name. So I would always put stupid things there, like, oh, I'm super hungry. Or, hey, what's for lunch, right? But I remember one of my coworkers, as I'm looking at her name, she had the number 444 next to her name. And I'm thinking, wait a second. I'm thinking in my head, did I tell her about this? Because I'm usually pretty private. I can't imagine I would have told a coworker about my 444 story, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I messaged her and I said, hey, Robin was her name. Did I tell you about my 444 story? She goes, no. I'm like, what does the 444 stand for? She goes, oh, that's the number of business days or calendar days until I retire. I'm like, what? I'm like, oh my gosh, how random.
Yeah.
I've never seen her. I didn't see the day before she had 445.
Right.
Or the day after 443. No, it's just 444.
Yeah. That's.
And I'm like, you know, of course, as soon as I tell her that, I'm getting goosebumps.
Right.
I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And it's fascinating. Those things were happening all the time.
Right. Did you ever tell Robin about your story with seeing that number?
I think I did. As a matter of fact, I said, you know, I think I got to tell you the story, because I think it just felt like I needed to. Right.
Right. Right.
And she thought it was cool. She thought it was really a fascinating story.
Yeah. So, Now, moving on to a more serious note, I know your aunt, who was your mom's sister, started having some health issues, and I wondered if you can talk about that, and then how the number came up.
Actually, just before that even happened, so this was happening all the time, right? So for months, 444 kept showing up.
Wow.
And it got to be a point where I didn't even have to think about it, where it was just like, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord, where it became automatic.
Oh, good, wow.
So, you can say that he hammered me with 444 over and over and over.
Yeah.
And at that point, I just thought, oh, that's pretty cool. Thank you, Lord, that he keeps showing me the number, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But I know there was a purpose for it.
Yeah.
I really know.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, so then getting back to my aunt, you know, this was after my mom had passed away. You know, my aunt, she was the one that took care of my grandma. You know, she never got married. Just really the sweetest woman. I mean, so nice to us. She would always go to the swap meets and buy us little toys and stuff. we never played with the toys, but it wasn't that. It was just the heart get those things. And so, yeah, so what would happen is sometimes we would have her stay at my dad's house. I was still living with my dad at the time after the divorce, so Kimmy and I would be there. But we'd have her come over. She'd spend the night some weekends because she was living at like a home for elderly that needed help, right? Mm-hmm. She would stay with us. And I remember, one night she was there. This was actually at a family get-together. It was the whole family was there. And she started experiencing some pretty severe pain in her stomach. And we kind of watched her for a little bit. And finally we decided, you know what, I think we better take her to the hospital. We took her to her emergency. Mm-hmm. This is probably around 9 o'clock at night or so. Took her to emergency. Went there with my sister and my dad. And, you know, they ran a whole bunch of tests. We were there a long time. It was so long that because they were trying to figure out what was going on. Mm-hmm. And it was so long that I eventually took my dad home so he could sleep. And I told him, hey, we'll pick you back up in the morning and we'll figure out what's going on. Mm. And so me and my sister stayed there for a long time. And I remember finally they came to us and told us, hey, we've done some tests. We really haven't seen anything, but we think based on what we're seeing, this is what it might be. And they said it's very likely that it was cancer. Mm-hmm. I forget what the cancer, pancreatic cancer. And I didn't know what that was. So I did some research, and what I realized is that's probably one of the worst cancers you can get. Mm-hmm. And it was probably pretty severe. And they're telling us what we want to do is we want to keep her overnight. So why don't you go home, come back in the morning, and we'll have her set up in a room. And so I remember it was pretty shocking. I was kind of in a daze, I would say. Mm. Like, wait a second. You know, the nicest lady, you know, why is this happening to her? I don't get it. Mm-hmm. And it was really tough. I remember me and my sister in the parking lot walking to our cars and just barely talking because I think we were just couldn't believe what we were just told. Mm-hmm. And so get to my car. I turn on the car, and all of a sudden, I'm overcome with this sense of comfort and relief. I'm like, your audience is probably thinking, what the heck? How could that be? Well, because when I turned on the car and I looked at the clock on my car, it was 4:44 a.m. And that moment, just seeing that, I knew God was with me.
Yeah.
Maybe for the first time in my life, I knew I wasn't going to have to go through this alone.
Yes, yes.
And it was because he had hammered me with that 444 over the last 5-6 months where I didn't even have to give it a second thought.
Yeah.
Where I just knew he was there, that when I saw that, I knew I wasn't alone. And it's bizarre to feel that kind of relief and comfort at a time where you heard some horrible news.
Yeah. Yeah.
But knowing that God was with me, that was pretty powerful.
Me. You know, just my observation is, after you've said that, is it's not necessarily that the number 44 has any 444 has any magical type of things to it, but it's more, it was the vehicle or the way or the method that happens to be the number that God connected you with, that drew you close to Him and reminded you of His presence, and then now you were able to do that all the time and be mindful of Him. I mean, it's just that repetition, that constant reminding, huh?
Yeah, it's like He met me where I needed to be met.
Yeah.
Knowing how I am, knowing what resonates with me, He found a way that I could realize it was Him. He communicated with me in the way that I could get.
Yes, yes.
Right? Uh-huh. Yeah, so it's not about the number itself. It's about the fact that He found a way for me to realize He's with me.
Yeah, all the time.
By showing me that.
Yes, absolutely. Now, I know when your auntie was in the hospital, there was a thing about the number of the room.
So it's near you know, we're pretty close to when she passed away. She was in the hospital. She had to stay there for multiple days. And what me and my siblings did, we just took turns staying with her in the room. Yeah. And, you know, we didn't want her to be alone. We want her to know that we were with her. And on the day it was my turn to go there, they actually switched her room. I think she was in the second floor or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they ended up moving her floors. And it's really fascinating because what they moved her to is the fourth floor. And it would have been really awesome, but her room number was 445. I'm like, oh, man, gosh, how cool would that have been if it was 444? But then when I walked up to the hospital, I was walking to her room. 445 and 444 are in a corner. So as I'm walking to her room, 445 is on the left. So what's the room number I see as I'm walking to her room? 444, right in front of me.
You have to see 444 before you get to her number.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. I'm like, you know, thank you, Lord. And it was, remember, that's the night she got moved.
Yeah.
And to know, like, that, get that comfort knowing, you know what? God's with us.
Yes,
He's with us. He's got us. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just bizarre. Every time I had to step out the room because they had to do something with her, I'm standing outside the room waiting. What am I looking at? 444.
Yeah.
Every time I go to the restroom and come back, 444. And so it was really comforting for me that night. It wasn't a hard night at all.
Yes.
And in fact, that was really the first night that she actually slept through the night. I remember I took my phone out, played worship music, just left it by her head.
Yeah.
And and she slept through the night.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was just a blessing.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, God was definitely with us. There's no question about that.
Yeah, and I thought it was good that, you know, in her room 445, you know, it's great that there was a single bed so she could, you know, have the privacy. But I thought it was fascinating also that in room 444, because you did go in there, that there were two beds, and kind of that reminder that, you know, it's not just us alone, but someone is with us.
Right,
almost,
right.
Almost a kind of metaphor in a way.
It was fascinating, though. I mean, it was such a blessing that she switched rooms. So, you know, to get that constant reminder that God's with me, that God's with us, was so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And I just think, you know, again, all the ways that God tries to connect with us, you know, for some, it might, you know, it might be a bell or a whistle or a rainbow or something, but that it's personal to us.
Yeah.
And so again, you know, I just want to thank you because you shared your testimony Sunday morning, and I started to see that number 444 all the time after you shared your testimony, whether it was, you know, the stock market or stock prices. You know, now, you know, I jog 3 or 4 times a week. And so when I get to minute 4:44, and when I get to mile 4 and 0.44, and when I get to 44:44, I throw up a thank you, Jesus. And it just, you know, connects me to the Father, just like you. So just want to thank you for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so awesome.
Now I have a surprise for you, Blake, because I know you said you and Kimiko have, you know, turned to page 444 in the Bible, and you've done other things. So I had a surprise for you. In Isaiah 44, verse 3 and 4, so it kind of culminates in verse 4. It says this: I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. And so I wanted to share that with you because, you know, in part one, you talked about the generational blessing passed on because of, you know, Sang's act of obedience. And I thought that you might find this interesting that it talks about, you know, the generational blessing on descendants.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that Kimiko and Sean are going to do great things, and more than me, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, it's just a blessing to... Yeah, that's a great verse.
Yeah, remember that. Isaiah 44, verses 3 and 4.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you bet. So as you reflect back on this testimony, what might be a lesson or a takeaway or insight that you might want to pass on to the listeners?
Yeah, you know, I think there's a couple things. I think the first thing is that you're never alone, right? Even when you're going through the toughest times, even when you're praying and you don't feel that you're alone, you aren't alone.
Yes.
Yeah, because I reflect back on that time.
Yeah.
And I think, gosh, how much worse could it have been, right? How much more difficult could it have been for me if God wasn't with me? Even if I didn't know he was with me, even if I didn't feel he was with me, I really believe that it could have been a lot worse for me, right? Because you look at the blessings of where I am now, right? God had to be with me for me to get to this point. He had to be, right? And so even no matter what I'm going through now, I'm always able to turn to, you know, I'm not alone. So I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'll get through this.
Yeah.
That's one blessing. The other thing is that you need to be willing to be open to how God might communicate with you. Mm-hmm. Who would have ever thought that he would use a number to connect with me? But it's interesting because he knows who I am. Mm-hmm. He knows how I am.
Yeah.
And he knew exactly what I needed in order to be able to see that he was with me.
Yeah.
And he gave me a number that just for some reason just stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because maybe he's been showing that to me before, but for some reason it clicked at that moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was open to be willing to see it.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because it didn't take me long to say, I think this could be God. Right? It didn't take me long at all.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
I think it's just a matter of, you know, be open.
Yeah.
You know, he'll connect you. He'll meet you where you're at. He'll connect with you in a way that resonates with you.
Yeah.
He's got to be willing to see it.
And, yeah.
Yeah. Be open to see it.
No, I just want to echo what you said. I do feel like God is always communicating with us. And you just happen to, like you said, be open at that time. And so I find it fascinating also that it wasn't until after you had that kind of heart change after Sang came up and prayed for you, and then you were open to the things of and how the way God communicates with you.
Right.
And then that's when you started, you know, seeing things, hearing from God and seeing things from
him. It's been super cool because, you know, you've shared the times that how it's impacted you. Damon will text me here and there with 444 and that he's seen it. And so that's a blessing for me. And it's really fascinating is I remember after Penn shared her testimony at Catalyst, I remember she told me, hey, you need to share that 444 story again.
Yeah, yeah.
And then what happens? You reach out to me and say, hey, would you like to share your story? So
yeah, that's timing is perfect.
Yeah, yeah. And that's one of those things where you just got to say yes, right? You know, because I don't love doing these. I don't love, you know, being out there, right? And especially just the way I am. Look how long it took me to start saying yes to God. It took me like 8 years, right? And, but, you know, I think through knowing that he's with me, because he's still reminding me all the time. I'm seeing 444 all the time. And, you know, just with him continuing to remind me that he's with me, how can I say no?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's just been a super big blessing in my life.
Yeah.
And, it was huge to know, to just know concretely, without a shadow of doubt in my heart, that he's with me through thick and thin.
Yes, yes. Right?
And it's just changed my life. It's changed the way I approach things. It's changed the way I approach people. And it's been pretty amazing. Yeah. Now, the 444 story, it was a while ago. So it's taken me, sometimes it took a little while for me to start saying yes, but it was always there.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout these 8 years, I see it all the time still. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you for saying yes to coming on and sharing this story. I just know it's going to be so impactful to all the people listening. And Blake, again, I just want to thank you for being here on Catalyst Stories a second time and sharing another amazing testimony of God's hand in your life. And I'd like to end our time together by lifting up a prayer of thanksgiving for this amazing testimony and for our listeners as well. So let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are always speaking to us. You always desire a personal two-way relationship with all your children. And thank you for the way that you've opened up communication and connection with Blake, that every time he sees the number 444, he can lift up a prayer of thanksgiving, not only for your presence with him, but that it reminds Blake that he is never, ever alone and will never be alone. And just want to quote Matthew 28:20, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And also just the fact that Blake is now mindful of your presence even when he doesn't see the number 444. So I thank you, Lord, that this has created a consistency in Blake's life, that he can just be more mindful of your presence even when he doesn't see the number 444. And Jesus, I pray that you will help all of us to search, discover, and then embrace the many ways you are trying to connect with us every day, and that we might stay in contact with you, close to you. And Blake, I just want to pray and declare over you and upon our families listening as well, that Isaiah 44, verse 3 and 4, for I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And in verse 4, that they will spring up like grass in a meadow, like poplar trees by flowing streams. And now, Jesus, may you use these heartfelt testimonies in Blake's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And thanks, Blake. And that's it for today's episode of Catalyst Stories. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration to others. God bless.